Hi, and welcome to Late Scratches, episode 27. I'm Bill Gibson, once again joined by Brad James here in the downtown Marysville studio. Brad, welcome back from vacation.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a little bit different here. The traffic was a little easier than downtown Miami and South Beach, but, you know, there's some bridge challenges, of course.
You don't strike me as a South Beach guy, I'll say that
right now. Oh, yeah, the yellow, bright yellow Speedo and everything, showing off the dad bod all day long. Not a chance. Yeah, I was out of my league there in many senses.
Yeah. too much information one way or another. It's way too much.
What a way to start off. Somebody just pouring their cup of tea saying, I'm going to settle into Late Scratches and just choked on it.
That's not visualized.
Please don't. No, it was a great time. Good to see all the kids and their better halves and grandson and all that fun stuff. And got to a ball game. Did the stuff you do in Miami. Except the heat, because I wouldn't, as you're aware, I wouldn't cross the street to see the NBA, but it was a lot of fun.
And the ballpark of Miami, you're quite impressed.
Fantastic. Probably the nicest stadium I've been in, and I've been fortunate enough to be in a lot of them, ultra-modern. The roof was closed because of the heat. There were about 5,500 people there. The noise was unbelievably loud, because if you go to, and I'll always talk about Fenway, there's 36,000 in Fenway on any given night, and there's that din and that murmur, right? And that's the noise, that's the background noise. They know their baseball, and it's just a great experience. This was like, oh boy. And I got to see Mike Trout anyway, which was a lot of fun to see, probably a future Hall of Famer, but just a different way. I saw probably more out of town jerseys and hats than Marlins.
And you got to see Michael Rendon? Did he play? Did he get his first hit of the season?
Honestly, that game, no, that was not the game. So yeah, I think it was the next day. So amazing. I actually saw that and I had to reread it a few times. I was like, are we kidding here? Anthony Rendon? Like what is going on?
You do the math on his hits for when he's getting paid.
For cha-ching. Yeah. Not a bad way. Of course, he said it's not a job, right? It's whatever it was he said in spring training. But yeah, but no, it was a lot of fun. But glad to be back home. And the best thing about it is very little snow.
So very little snow. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. Spring is almost sprung, I think.
I think so. I've got an appointment to get the winter tires off this week. Ooh. That means we're probably due for a big bunch of snow just out of the blue.
Of course. Your eyes look pretty good. You didn't get caught up in the eclipse yesterday?
No, I spent the day here in the afternoon outside in the park just next door, as you can appreciate. Yes. Just a few of us watching the eclipse and moving it on, and stayed away from the crowds. Crowds are not my thing.
No, I know.
So get out of that. Office is right downtown, right beside Carlton Street now. And get out of there at lunchtime. It was already getting busy, and from the all accounts of things, it was nutty there.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure the bar and shop and pub owners would wish it was open, or the eclipse happened every 2 years with the throng of people. I honestly went into the day with the give a frig factor pretty low. It's like, okay, but then when it started to get dark, I was like, okay, and I borrowed some glasses from Shelley and said, okay, this is kind of cool. Like I get it, but. What I thought was even better than the natural happening that occurred was everybody seemed to be in a good mood and was sharing good information for a change instead of being cranky. Like everybody's on the same page. And as you said, oohing and aahing and all that, and some of the pubs were full. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic too. And no surprise, the sort of the best post I've seen on it from friend of the podcast, Bill Hunt, on Facebook today had a nice... I won't say article, but it was a lengthy post for Facebook.
Okay.
Sort of well captured the atmosphere there.
That people were in a good mood.
That people were in a good mood and all of that. So kudos to, to Bill. I know you're not a Facebook guy, and I'm not going to pull up Facebook and read everything. But if those that are friends for Bill, check out his posts there. It's, the style of writing we have come to.
Right. No, absolutely.
He's gonna expect from.
And he's a downtown guy too, right? So he's going to appreciate everything that goes along that way. So I actually had some chat to Fran Harris, who's the official photographer of the Fredericton Freeze, and just a tremendous person and photographer for that matter. And I texted her earlier yesterday. I said, I want to get you before you get up on a mountaintop somewhere. And she was excited. And I know Brad Perry's photography had a lot of people, retweeting and commenting as well. So, just a pretty cool thing. And I'm a huge fan of the Viking era and the Neanderthals era. And I was thinking back, what were they thinking, you know, centuries ago when the eclipse happened, like the world must be coming to an end type thing. And then 4 minutes later, all of a sudden the sun's back out. But yeah, pretty cool.
Well, I know why you like me now, if you're a fan of a Neanderthal era.
There you go. Exactly. Get to hang out with one every day. Huh?
Yes.
Anyway, we digress.
We do. So yeah, when we messaged this morning to say, hey, we're going to do a podcast this week, didn't really have a lot written down in terms of stuff to talk about, but it didn't take me too long to, you know, get some notes together and you know, have some things to talk about.
Well, like the flowers, like things are ready to spring up again, right?
Yeah, I mean, things are underway, and, you know, when we thought the university sports cycle was winding down, all of a sudden, surprise, it's athletic banquet season, and you know, some recruit announcements happening, some coaching changes, and you know, let's start with that one. Coaching vacancy at Mount Allison, one I'm not sure I saw coming. Coach Chapman stepping away, long career, just hosting a national tournament. You know, in hindsight, it's a, you know, pretty good way to go out.
Yeah, I won that first game in dramatic fashion, lost a tough second one, and Steve's been around a long time as a player and a coach. And, you know, everybody's role ends, and he must have felt that this was the time. And if you can end a career on a national, with, you know, although Mount Allison didn't win that national championship, you still host it in your own backyard. So it's a feather in the cap there. And it's going to be interesting, as is every coaching job, when there's a vacancy, you immediately start speculating who's going to go in. So is it going to be a former player? Is it a former coach? Somebody from outside? The ACAA coaching is not for the faint of heart, because it's not a salary position. It's a stipend. You put in the same amount of hours as a U sport or, you know, NCAA, whatever. You don't have that staff of 15 to handle a lot of film and everything. So you really have to love it. But for many, it's a stepping stone too to that next level. So
it is. I think I saw $10K was the stipend attached, right, to that role in the job posting. And as you say, it's every bit as much work as it is in any of the full-time coaching roles.
Recruiting itself, and you know, I know coaches take advantage of that Christmas break to go to the interscholastic tournaments, but it's work. You have to be in the gyms. You have to create contacts. You have to find out who's doing what, recommendations. So, as I said, it's if you're shy, you better find somebody who's going to be able to do a lot of those jobs. But they don't come around very often, and when they do, everybody's looking to see who's going to fill the void.
Oh, and as you know, I love the ACAA as a league. It's just so competitive, pretty much top to bottom. Now, every once in a while, there's a team that's a little weaker than the rest. But, you know, you look at, on the men's side this year, even UKC, who didn't have a great record, I think it took them their last game to get a win on the season, they were a tough team to play.
Yeah.
All season long.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, we were actually talking about it today. A friend at work had talked about staying on top. It is hard to stay on top. It can be not easy to be competitive and be that 500 or, you know, just under, and always be kind of maybe on any given night type thing. But to actually continue and stay atop, you have to outwork and outthink and out-recruit. That's the biggest thing. Look at UNB men's hockey.
Yeah, I was just going to say, talk about outwork and out-recruit.
100%.
UNB's men's hockey and Gardner McDougall, who was the coach of the year at UNB.
Pretty tough. You know, some coaches had pretty good seasons, like Aaron McAleen in her first year. And you go undefeated and win a national championship. It's like, yeah, just, you know, engrave Gardner's name on that one.
Yeah, I would think that would be
That was the easiest vote.
Straightforward.
Congratulations to Gardner and all the coaches. Like, I have so much respect for the coaches. And it doesn't matter if it's interscholastic or ACAA, U Sports, just the amount of work and the amount of work that you don't see. You see it on the sidelines from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. You don't see what goes on after the game, the post-mortem games and the preparation that goes into it. Like, it's all consuming. And most of them, especially at the ACAA, have other jobs. And so you have to, you know, you have to learn how to balance that and then be prepared for game night or game day. Not easy.
Not easy, but you can bet there's going to be multiple applications.
Yeah, and there should be. I mean, every assistant coach around, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there's some Mount A alum out there that would love to return home and coach the Mounties too. It would be no different if there was a vacancy at Stu or Kings or on Mount St. Vincent or wherever. but every assistant coach that has aspirations, you know, to coach at to be the head coach or to that stepping stone should be applying for that job.
And they don't have to look too far down their bench to see.
That's the big thing too. And that's what happened with the women's team in Mount Ellison, yeah. Right? When Coach Chase left and Tom Scavari just assumed the job and did a great job this season. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go.
Yeah. You think of the Andrew Sharps, the Dave Tingleys. Oh, and I've just lost the name of the other assistant coach who played for the Moncton team in the East Coast League and stuck around to be an assistant there. Some great basketball minds just there.
I mean, in terms of that.
And we haven't even left.
Yeah, and there's the bench, it's, let alone, it's yeah, and know. That's coaching changes because as a head coach and a bit head coach in a different sport. You know, you come in and when you inherit a staff, it's not always easy because maybe the principles or maybe the thought process isn't the same as, and the worst thing you can say to a new head coach is, well, we always did it this way, like, forget it. So a lot of times coaches want who they trust to join them. And that's why you might see a coach like take over a head coaching position and keep a present day staff, but then you start to see changes after that first year. But you know, all of that with your question about, or with your note about Mount Ellison with the coaching opening, it just leads to so many different stories and avenues and who's going to take it. And I'm sure you want to get it done early because recruiting is, and I'm sure Coach Chapman had some recruits, but now you have to have a new voice. And that's another thing. If you're being recruited, and Bill Gibson's the head coach of the team that I want to go to, but all of a sudden Coach Gibson has stepped aside, does that change the water on the beans? And you have to, you know, I'm not sure if I can play for that coach. And then some change of heart might happen there. So all kinds of things at play.
Yeah, tons and tons of things. And, you know, I have a bit of a relationship with Coach Chapman. And just thanks to Coach for always being cooperative with me when – you know, I'm doing the Stu webcast, stop down and have a visit before the game. And
when I had my
all those things, it's right. Great.
When we had NB Hoops report, the coach was always sending in stories, whether it was a recruit, whether it was a game story or whatever. And you appreciate that because he cared about the program. He's promoting the program. And, you know, there's just something to be said for that. And he just wanted to promote the program. And I think they all do. But he was kind of an interesting cat.
No question. Staying on coaching, new women's volleyball coach announced at St. Thomas, Kim Kolpitz. Welcome, Kim, to the sidelines, replacing Coach McKay, who, not sure whether you saw him in Florida, but I learned that's where he's been for the last little while.
No, I did not. I'm not sure if he's hanging out.
It would be a very New Brunswick thing to do, yes. Wouldn't it be, to run into him down
that's
there?
That's true. I did meet a guy from, he had a Canadian Touch Football League Championship t-shirt on from Halifax. So, of course, I had to say, hey, and he's from Winnipeg and had officiated at Touch Football Championships. But, yeah, Coach Kolpitz, our paths have crossed a lot because volleyball's tearing down and basketball's going into practice type things. So she spent a lot of time in the gym. She's coached a lot of levels. So so she's joining the green and gold, and good on her.
Yeah, I've been an assistant at UNB and I think over 20 years.
Knows her way around the volleyball court.
Certainly knows her way around the volleyball court and taking over a pretty good program as well.
That's right. So stepping in on that, and it's going to be interesting because the players that are returning will have a different style to adapt to and everything that comes with that. So it's always good to see how new coaches take over too and have to put their stamp on things. So that's something I've always liked to watch unfold.
Yeah, and I look forward to getting to know Kim over the next however many years, and you know, seeing where Stu Volleyball goes under new direction. Certainly, Coach McKay was fantastic for the program.
Been there a long time, so it's you know, filling in the steps of a veteran that had a lot of success with the Tommies. So now Coach Kolpitz gets to put her mark on things.
Yeah, so Megan Dunne-Wise, the athletic director there, fills one open role, a couple others open. Of course, as we talked here a few weeks ago with Aaron Goffett, he's now started his new role at NBIAA this week, I think was his start date. And also departing Stu is head athletic therapist. She's only around for a year, Madison Ashcroft, who's taking a role back out west where she's from, or closer to the west at least, to be nearer to family.
That's and I've done it in a few broadcasts, and having been around, you know, multiple sports, I think the athletic therapists, equipment managers, all of those behind the scenes individuals that help a player get ready or help a coach get ready. And we talked about the coaches with the hours, like, you know, ATs are out there taping and they're always on the watch out there. You know, I'm sure they're invested in terms of winning and losing as well, but it's about, okay, a player just went down. How do I get that player back and make sure that he or she is ready to play, right? And that's bus drivers, equipment managers, athletic therapists always are people that stand out to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the things that I've got on my sort of whiteboard of potential guests here or topics mm-hmm. for the podcast. And you know, I had multiple conversations with Madison throughout the year, kind of got to know her a little bit and talked in general about her role. Of course, not about any particular players and injuries or status, anything like that. I would not ask her any of those questions. Something I'm sure she would share with me, but just in general, how busy her role was supporting the teams and on top of that in the clinic as well, in terms of what that was, and just an absolute passion for that level of role and you know, was really a great fit with the Tommies. That you know, congratulations to her for getting a new role.
Yeah,
you know, closer to
home. And coaches or players are looking for the next level. Coaches looking for the next level. Same as ATs and anybody in those, and same as equipment managers to start to say at the, you know, at the under 18 level here, and then all of a sudden get a job in junior, and next thing you know, you're in the ECHL, the AHL, and the ultimate goal of the NHL. So it doesn't matter what league or sport, you want to get to the top, and that's a pretty cool profession too. Like it's. If you watch those professionals taping ankles and things like that, man, it's, you know, I'm like taping an ankle. It's like putting scotch tape on tinsel or something. And it's to see that skill level, it's something that's unheralded, but certainly effective.
Well, if you've ever seen me wrap a Christmas present, you will know never to ask me to tape anybody's ankle.
Not a chance. Roll it in a big ball and say, okay, you're good to go.
I've moved Merry to gift Christmas. Bags for a reason.
Exactly.
So I could do that our other co-host has just joined us here the table.
It's, giving us the rollover now.
He's giving us a rollover right here so we can look out the window.
Willie's going to have to get like a Twitter account or an X account or something just so people can really start to, you know, become familiar with him.
He's pretty popular.
Yeah, say that. As he should be.
Yes. So let's stay with college athletics and St. Thomas. Was able to attend the athletic banquet last week.
Sorry, I missed it.
You were invited there, but you were too busy on South Beach.
Exactly. We already talked about that. People were just pouring their second cup of tea.
I attended with Bill Hunt, so he and I sat together. We were in table number 3, so right at the front.
So does that mean you got to the buffet first or had to wait last?
We were pretty much first.
Oof. All right.
Pretty much first to the buffet line, and great work by Fredericton Inn. I don't know whether you've been in since they've done renovations there, and in that main boardroom looks great. You know, food was good, banquet was good.
What stood out for you? It's got you off guard, didn't it?
It did get me off guard a little bit. I think there were a couple things that stood out. One was my inability to recognize so many players that I know, not in their uniform.
Oh, 100%. Like, totally different, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, totally different.
Pick them out on the court, like, as soon as they walk
in. The women's volleyball team, I was like, oh, I think I know you, but right. I don't know who you are. And I was like, because I need the jersey, the game look.
Yeah. Come in with their dress and number 16 on it, and you're, oh, okay.
Yeah. I'd have been all right.
Yeah, that's right.
And just the sheer number of athletes was the other thing that really, really struck me. You know, I cover basketball, volleyball, so the 4 teams there and the men's and women's and some of the hockey, and you look at that. But then when you see them all in a group with the soccer team and the rugby team and the cross country team, and I'm probably missing somebody out of there that I haven't said that was in that room. It's phenomenal how many people just St. Thomas athletics touch, let alone UNB.
Right, and UNB had its as well. And the youth is, when you go to those events or when you go to games, but especially when you see them on that level, just you know, for a banquet or whatever, it's invigorating, right? Because there's so much energy. And I always say to my girls, like, you're never as young as you are right now. And it sounds kind of dumb, but it's true. Like, you know, all of a sudden you're a geezer like me, right? And it's just for them to embrace the sports they're in and the university they're in, because pretty soon, you know, you're going to be walking across the stage, and then it's going to the interviews and all that fun stuff to settle into day-to-day life. So I think when you go to those type of events, you just really kind of do a 360 and see how much energy and passion for sports, which we both love, right? That's why we're doing this. And then and they all have stories too, which is really cool. So you could tell 300 stories.
And yeah, that was the thing as I sat there. I mean, for the teams that we're involved with, and even some of the larger awards, I probably had most of them named before. You know, if I knew what the award was, I probably could have picked out who was going to get it. And that's what Bill Hunt and I did most of the
weren't
time.
Shouting it out, were you?
We weren't shouting it out there, but he and I were chatting. And in addition to poking fun at some of the things Eric Moffat was saying. Sorry, Eric.
I remember, you know, I went to a thing where Eric was talking once, and he actually said he apologized for going on so long, and I yelled out, "There's a calendar behind you."
If I'd have thought of that one, I might have got in. But I was mostly on best behavior.
Yeah, that's good.
We told a few jokes back and forth there, Bill and I. But we also, you know, we're blessed to get to sit with a couple of members of the Washburn family.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they were on hand to present an award there.
On behalf of their dad.
On behalf of their dad. And you know, that was pretty neat to get to know them and see yet another view of college athletics, sort of through their eyes and sort of, see that. So, you know, it was good. You know, it was good evening, a lot of fun. Male athlete of the year, big shocker, that Josh Oakes, the CCA soccer player of the year.
Right.
That's another, like, could have had that in you know, engraved on my way up there. I could have stopped and done that one. And female athlete of the year, again, not another great surprise, Katarina Belowicz from women's hockey. Female athlete of the year would obviously be from women's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Great season. Yeah, great season, among the top scorers in the nation at the U Sports level.
Absolutely.
I think number three in terms of goals.
She was in the top five, and it's just a dynamic player, and you know, led St. Thomas to that great season on the ice.
And you know, we'd be going on here literally for a couple hours if we went through all the individual team awards. So not going to get into those, but there is only one other one I want to mention, only because I've gotten to know this person from women's basketball probably a little more than some of the other players, and that's Celine Sterkel, you know, winner of the Kathy Wadden Commitment Award. And, you know, you go through the resume of you know, what Celine has done, and certainly very deserving. And, you know, it's great to see her last year come back from the knee injury from a couple years ago at Mount A, you know, second team All-Star. This year, just you know, very, very deserving, and great to see that recognized at the university level.
Yeah, I got to know Celine when she was an underage for basketball in the New Brunswick U17 team, and went to nationals with that team, and was just kind of cutting her teeth a little bit and learning the game. And she's a pretty gregarious personality, serious, but can share a laugh, and just she is committed. She's committed to what, if she's putting her mind to something. She's going to stick with that. And Katie Butts as well, who's a friend of the show and was a guest on the show, one of our first guests with UNB. She won the Red and Black Award for UNB Women's Basketball. So shout out to Katie.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great chance to transition there over to UNB Athletics Awards. I think we already mentioned Gardner and his Coach of the Year at UNB. Male Athlete of the Year, Austin Keating from hockey team, AUS MVP, AUS All-Star. First team All-Canadian in an undefeated season.
And turned pro.
Had
his first game in the AHL with Chicago Wolves and is now in Norfolk, I believe, in the ECHL. Had two assists in his first game there. So, and you know what, the guy, and they have four players that have turned pro now. And it's a grind, because you're guys with NHL contracts playing in the American League, and you're the new person in town coming in late in the season too. So you don't have a whole lot of chances to make a first impression. And then here, you know, a lot of them are already thinking ahead to next year, like full training camp and everything that comes with it. But he's going to get his chances, as are all of them.
And female athlete of the year, if you thought Austin's resume was pretty good, how about AUS MVP, AUS All-Star, first team, all Canadian, and most outstanding player in U Sports.
Yeah, I mean, Jay DeVino was just, speaking of, you know, inscribing that trophy a few weeks ago, she did everything and carried the team. You know, UNB had some pretty tough injuries down the stretch, and so much was on Jada's shoulders, and she responded in kind and just, you know, I know Erin McLean can't say enough about her, and she's through her university career now, but a remarkable woman, and she's going to go on to a whole lot of bright things, whichever path she chooses.
Oh, there's no question there with Jada. And again, just unbelievable accomplishments. And you look at
it really
her
is
whole,
when
whole
you
career,
absolutely just never stopped. It just kept building, building, and then culminating this year.
Yeah, and you know, I think we talked about it, over 1,500 career points. You know, part of them at Acadia, but a good bulk of them at UMB as well. And only ever been one UMB player to reach that milestone, you know, all fully in a UNB jersey, and that's Amanda Sharp, who had just an incredible university career.
Never had an easy point.
Nope.
Every point she had, Amanda just was hard, banging, crashing. You know, maybe the free throw was the easy point, but watching her was, and you know what, being able to watch Amanda and Jada since we moved to Fredericton and a lot of other men's and women's players has been a treat.
Well, and you think about how many players have gone through UMB women's basketball.
I'll just multiply 12 by whatever it is or more, you know, and it's,
And there's only one who's ever achieved that milestone, and then, you know, Jada being sort of the second, if you will, although a number of those that's coming in their first 3 years at Acadia.
Yeah, at Acadia, and finishing at UNB, but what a pickup for the Reds, that's for sure. And just, you know, I texted her too and said, like, is that trophy case going to be able to support everything that you've had? And but credit to them, credit to all the athletes that walked away with hardware. And it's just, especially in the team sport, like, it's, man, there's nothing better than watching your teammates be rewarded. And you know, your ultimate goal is to win. I don't think you go into season saying, okay, I'm going to be the MVP, I'm going to be the player of the year. But so you have to have a lot of teammates pushing you towards that, that's for sure. But you also have to have that desire and commitment every day to be better, because you can't be the top player by going 70%. It just doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. And as we've talked about it, and it struck me again at the Stew Banquet, and as we're talking here, you know, you said there's been four of the UNB men's hockey team to go pro. They may be the only four that go pro in any sport out of all the athletes. Now, the chances are men's hockey next year. There may be some people that are already on team this year that go pro, but chances are that there's not going to be a very high percentage of those players that go pro in any of that.
It's an interesting point when you think about that. And if that is the end goal, I mean, there are more opportunities now than ever if you're a basketball player or a volleyball player, you know, to go somewhere and at least try. And if you want to have that training camp tryout or join a team, you know, late in the season, like some of the guys have done. But if there's an opportunity, you have to grab it and grab it fast, because there's somebody coming in that will say, I'll take that job.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the point there being is that, you know, so few of these, for all the effort and dedication and commitment that it takes to being a varsity athlete, very few of them are going to have career in sport beyond the level that they're achieving at their universities.
Yeah, it's tough. It's that, whatever the percentage is, low percentage, especially to play at the highest level. And that's what we've always talked about. And this is getting off subject a little bit, but it's about the you call them the great ones, the Gretzky's, the Jordans, Serena Williams, whoever it is. That's a pretty small number, and they are different animals altogether from the next tier.
Yes.
Right? From the next tier. Like, you know, like an Austin Matthews who scored a 65th goal, that's great. But nobody's going to mention him in the Gretzky Messier hockey thing or anything like that. So,
well, Leaf fans.
Of course. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that crew. But yeah, just and that could be a conversation for another day too, just in terms of what it takes to get there and then stay there.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Stairs is another person that had a long career and managed to stay there because he could hit, but he just didn't wake, you know, fall out of bed in the morning and get two hits for the Pirates on any living night. He worked at it.
Yeah, we've Matt's on our whiteboard too, yeah, as people we would love to have on the podcast at some point. So Matt, if you're listening, don't be shy. If you get a little invite here, at
step
some point
right up. Don't be shy.
Yeah, love to chat on that. So where do we want to go from here? Touch on,
my goodness,
we're sort of talking about basketball there with Jada. How about NCAA basketball tournament?
So much fun.
I was not successful in any of the pools. No surprise.
But you got to a fairly decent spot, did you not?
I got to a fairly decent spot, right, going into the Final Four.
Right.
In both the men's and the women's, I needed my teams to advance. And right. They
didn't.
They didn't. And I knew that going in, that we got winners in UConn on the men's side and South Carolina on the women's side, both number ones. Which almost never happens.
Yeah, no, and that's right.
Particularly a repeat number one. So I picked, in the pools I was in, there were so many people who had those picked as winners that the difference ends up being, whether you pick a couple games right in the first round, really. Like the point margins were pretty small. And I knew my chances, even if I picked that as a winner, would not be great. So, as I said, my strategy was to go to someone who I thought had a chance to win, but wouldn't probably be picked by too many other people.
Right. And you have to do that to differentiate yourself.
And that was, and you get more bragging rights if you end up being right. Course.
Remember Gibby back in 2024? Yeah. He took the Illini and they won.
Yeah.
Instant legend.
Yeah, would have been a legend.
But, right.
Anyway, no.
Now, I thought the basketball was good last night. I thought Edie played very well. I don't think Purdue had enough sport outside of him, and I thought if UConn said let's give Edie as many as he can get and don't let anybody else beat us, that's not a bad thing. And yeah, I think Don Staley, with South Carolina again, another undefeated season at that level, it's amazing. And she just looks like, we only see snippets of her on social media, like she's dancing in practice on Saturday in front of 19,000 people at a practice.
Yeah.
Loose. If your coach is loose like that, your players are going to play loose. And storybook season and just so many storylines. And now they're already talking about, who was it I saw is already advertised to move their game like on June 30th or something in anticipation of Caitlin Clark going first overall and her team, Indiana, I think, would be going somewhere.
Yeah.
Like 2 months from now, they move to a bigger stadium, knowing that they're probably going to sell out. So a lot of storylines that way and just a lot of fun. TV audiences, everything that goes along with it, pretty cool.
Women's broadcast almost 19 million average viewers, and I think peaked close to 25 million. Just incredible, that number of 18.9, only beaten in the last, I forget how many years, by the Olympics and the World Cup.
Crazy.
So bigger than the Super Bowl, bigger than Major League Baseball World
Stanley
Series,
Cup.
Bigger than Stanley Cup.
No, it's
bigger than the men's tournaments,
right? Yeah, and it says something, and the game is fun. Their personalities too, right? And I think a lot of it too has to do with you get to know the players, because back in the day, you knew the players that were playing on the men's side too, third and fourth year players, and now it's a lot of one and done. A transfer portal has never been as busy, so it's hard to keep connecting the dots. Like Haley Van Leith is going somewhere
again,
again. So it'd be third team in 3 years, right? And just, but you still know her because she had some great years in Louisville and then took the chance at LSU. But I think that's one of the differences. You get to know the Beckers and more of them. And a tough way for that game to lose. I think it was a moving screen. And the hollering as well. You can't call that with 6 seconds. Like you can't call a trip in game seven overtime in the cup final when it's a screen in the trip in the first period. But
I agree with all of that. I think it was a foul. It's one that you don't want to see, I didn't want to see.
Right. No, called. Of course not. And that's just magnified by the amount of people.
Yeah.
And if that's a Tuesday night and it's, Cleveland State against Michigan Tech, whatever, but certainly magnified in that game.
Yeah. And I think you hit on it as well. I think the difference between the men's and the women's game at the NCAA level right now, it is the personalities. There are more, I'm not sure iconic is the right word, but high level, talented personalities that you know.
Right.
Other than Zach Edey, who is Canadian and know him through the national team program more than anything, don't know a whole lot about the stories about very many of the NCAA men, near as well as the women. And certainly it was reflected in my viewership. I watched almost none of the men's tournament, which is very
I thought it was good. I thought the men's final was very well played. It was well coached, and I thought Edie played very well. And now the big question is, where is he going to go? Because I think they had him as a middle round, like 18 or something like that. But he had some pretty dominant performances. He doesn't look 300 pounds, as crazy as it sounds, because he looks kind of, you know, because he's 7 foot 1,000.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see where he goes. And it's so, okay, wait till he gets to the next level. You know how many athletes have heard that? They're in youth sport. Well, wait till they get to high school. And they get to high school and they play, well, wait till they get to university, that type of thing, right? And just give them a chance. But there's so much social media or pressure on athletes today that sometimes it's unrealistic how they're going to dominate. Because we talked just moments ago about how hard it is to get there, let alone stay there.
Yeah, I mean, I wish them success at the next level. I have a tough time seeing him at his body size having success at, you know, big time success at the next level. You know, and that's not a slight.
I hope he's with our national program too and helps that. That's what I find more interest in that than I do, as I said, about the NBA when we first started talking about the league. I'm more interested to see where he fits into that level.
Yeah, and then national program, this is going to be a fantastic year there.
It's getting better at both sides, right? Like men and women are just, we're starting to produce players.
Summer Olympic year.
Yeah, it's crazy. I always think the Olympics always seem to be, and then all of a sudden the Olympics are here. And I think, you know, like somebody like Joyce Slip, who actually participated in the Olympics, like amazing, and so many other New Brunswickers too. And it's just, it's a spectacle.
So let's transition from that into the Maritime Women's Basketball Association. Player signings being announced. Training camps are underway. Freeze open camp this weekend.
Saturday, Sunday at FHS. Looking forward to that. Hard to say, you know, what we're going to have. We have, you know, some players that we know that, for instance, have an exam on Saturday that can't make it. But that's okay. That's what the MWBA is all about. And it's we could have anywhere from 16 to 25 out. There should be some surprises that come in that we're aware about. And it is funny, like Gibby, it's my direct messages and emails are like, where are the Freeze signings? Well, we haven't had tryouts yet. So I know some teams are doing it differently. Miramichi Hurricanes, an expansion franchise, didn't have tryouts. So they pick their team and they're announcing and doing a great job. And if people are seeing the Hurricanes, I sent them a note yesterday, said, thanks, you know, I'm putting a lot of pressure on the rest of us here. But I think it's great because people are talking about it and saying, whoa, like, where are your signings? Well, they're going to come. We have, you know, we believe in tryouts. And, I mean, there's going to be some players that we fully anticipate will be playing their third season with the Freeze. So it'll all come in due time. But
yeah, and I mean, seriously, you probably could have done some.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Some players that's
right. But I think are pretty likely to make the team.
Right. And we just take a different marketing approach.
Yeah.
And Miramichi is a first-year team. So they're, you know, working hard and raising eyebrows, and that's great.
And they're, you follow the every day. They're releasing a player, or building up to. I'm sure we'll talk about this, the Battle of the Border.
Yeah.
We'll have
the Freeze plays Miramichi.
Yeah, have the whole roster, released before then, and just love the momentum that they're building and the excitement in Miramichi. I mean, you knew when I went up for the announcement, and the gym was packed for Basketball Day in the River, that it was going to be undoubtedly successful up there in terms of what they're doing. They know their community well, and basketball is certainly a big part of the Miramichi community.
That's, I'm incredibly excited for our home opener at the Richard J. Curry Center in the Performance Gym on May 4th against Moncton, and then equally as excited to go on the road the next day to open Miramichi's foray into the league. So that's a tough weekend for the Freeze starting out.
Incredibly tough weekend.
You know, we're talking less than a month away, and Coach Daly, Coach Ash, and our coaches and everything getting ready for Saturday at 3 o'clock at FHS for the first workout. And just a lot of work to do, that's for sure. And it's going to come fast and furious, because 2 weeks from there is the Battle at the Border presented by McDonald's and down in St. Stephen with the four NB teams. And, you always say, well, preseason doesn't mean anything, but you want those early bragging rights, and you want your players prepare because the league is short. It's a short season. It's compact, but it's energetic. So we think, you know, looking at some of the names that have registered and are coming out, we're pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. I'm excited in general for the league season, you know, that I have great passion for the Maritime Women's Basketball Association. The stories there are just so good. The basketball's such a high level, so I'm sure we'll talk lots about that. Anything else you want to say on Battle of the Border? Any news there that is public that you want to share?
I think, you know, the games right now, we're just finalizing some of the youth teams with volleyball. That huge tournament St. Thomas hosts are taking some of the multi-sport athletes away, and that's great, but taking some of the teams away. So we're just rejigging the schedule, but it does look like 1:30 on April 27th, the Saturday, Moncton Mystics and Port City Fog. And the Freeze will play Miramichi after that, 3:30, I believe it is. And we're just tuning up the final details for the mayor's reception Saturday night, a social following that in downtown St. Stephen. And, it's just going to be, you know what, it's going to be Basketball Central and Basketball New Brunswick teams are coming in on Sunday, on the 28th, to play some of their league games as well. So it's just going to be a smorgasbord, I guess, and why St. Stephen, while home to the world's oldest basketball court, which we've covered a lot on Late Scratches, and it's just another opportunity for more people to see it and see what the vision is. Tom Liston and his crew are working feverishly, and I you know, I've been working a lot with Tom and Chris Larson from Sport and Entertainment Atlantic, putting this together, and Ashley and Gary Wager with McDonald's. Really excited, and I think it's just going to be a fun weekend, just bringing basketball to the forefront.
No question. It's going to be a fun weekend, and you know,
great. You get to do some play-by-play, hopefully, because we hope to have the games live-streamed, and that's what we're working on now. And a shout-out to David Taylor, too, at St. Stephen High School, the athletic director. He's been great. Just in terms of making sure all the logistical stuff is in place and finding a proper place for the camera angle for the television station CHCO and Patrick Watt. We should have hear the golden tones of Gibby calling four games down there. It'll be great.
Yeah, might have to knock off a little rust between now and here and then. I might have to, you know, do some play-by-play here for the local road hockey game or something.
That breaks
kids have got going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to see if I can get back in the swing of things.
That'll be good.
It's been a bit. But it's okay. I'm sure we'll be fine there.
Consider it your training camp too, right? Your preseason.
Yeah, it's going to be my preseason as well. So you talked about high school volleyball. The schedule is up on the Late Scratches website. But please don't take the locations there as gospel. I have another gripe. Eric, if you're listening to this, the NBIA website, please have a consistent format for home and away team on that volleyball site. Sometimes the home team's listed first, sometimes the home team's listed second, and it just says versus, and you have to read the really small print in the top corner to see what gym it's in.
Interesting. So you could be thinking you're going to watch Moncton High against Marie Esther or Shippigan, and you go to Moncton and it's in Shippigan.
Well, yeah, I'm only looking at the West teams here, so just the Fredericton area is the only ones I've got up there. But if we could get into a small little detail, but it would make it a lot easier to follow, because I went through a whole bunch of them, and then I realized when I got to the end, I was like, wait a minute, that one's different. And then I started looking, there were some others different, so I had to go back and check them all, and I think I caught them, but please check the NBIA. Right. Before you go to a gym,
call ahead.
Call, you know, check the NBIA website first. Don't just rely on the Late Scratches website. The information is there, but please go to the NBIA website. Just verify it. I don't want to get blamed for someone going to the wrong place.
Asterisks.
Yes.
Solve everything.
So it's there, but I don't guarantee that it's 100% accurate. I think it is, but no guarantees on that. You've talked about already the Stu
it's
volleyball.
It's a tough word to say, by the way. Asterisks.
It is tough.
Yeah.
Playing Houston, don't they?
Oh, about to walk off the set here. Oh, what a horrible shot. All right. I got my dagger-proof shirt on. I can take it.
You mentioned the Stu
Volleyball. Quick on your feet, Gibby. Sorry.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I thought good Stu Volleyball tournament. Their high school tournament was this past weekend. I had it on my list of things I was going to try to get to take a look at the
setup.
The setup there at Grand Harvey. And truth be told, I didn't leave the north side all weekend long, so it was a good weekend for me.
Not crossing the bridge.
Yeah, I didn't cross the bridge. I had a really nice long couch nap on Saturday afternoon. Unplanned. It just happened.
I tell you something? That I don't think it's personal. I can't nap. I don't know how to nap. That's a true story. I could, like, I tried one day because I may have, you know, dove in a little deep there and not into the pool and in our Airbnb. And the next day I tried the nap and I couldn't.
Get Willie to give you some lessons. He's a pro napper.
Exactly. God. Anyway, but yeah, even when I played back in the day, I couldn't have a pre-game nap. Weird.
Really?
Yeah. Brain has to stop working.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
What little bit there is.
So yeah, their middle school tourney coming up, as we talked about, April 26th to 28th. So that's impacting some of the teams that, you know, we're potentially looking at there for the youth teams at Battle of the Border.
But isn't it great, like, because we always talk about multi-sport athletes.
It's wonderful.
Like, technically, the youth basketball season is over, and Battle at the Border was hoping just to give, you know, a bit of an extension. But the children are playing their volleyball now, and that's great. Get them out and get playing as many sports as they can.
Fredericton Royals, senior baseball. I've been in touch with them a couple times, trying to see if there's a schedule out yet. It doesn't appear that they've landed on a league schedule yet, at least not one that they're ready to communicate out there. I'm told they had a meeting that was scrapped due to weather and travel and had to get that back on the agenda.
Traditionally, Victoria Day weekend, though, in terms of the entire league.
Traditionally, when they open.
Just who's home and who's away.
Who's home, who's away. Right. And I'm sure we'll probably see the Royals on the traditional Friday night plan back here at Royals Field. So, you know, eager on that one. While we're on baseball, Capital City Intermediate Baseball League. Jeremy Trevers reached out, and a little blurb there on the podcast website as well on this. All four teams in the league are having open tryouts. So there's contact information on the Capital City Intermediate Baseball League Facebook page.
So do they have a draft, like a general draft, or is it like team, like the Astros have their own team and they pick their own players?
I think it's the latter. Yeah, okay. They have their own. It's usually a core group that keeps playing together year after year, as opposed to a general.
I'm just glad to say, and it's awesome that league exists and leagues like it across the province, because not everybody can commit, as we talked about earlier, to the senior level, or you just want to play with your buddies, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll have Jeremy on at some point to talk about intermediate baseball in at least the capital area and probably around the province a little bit.
It's alive and well, like across the province.
It is alive and well, and I always find the cycle of baseball and softball, it sort of seems to run in a cycle, is that there was a time when, you know, baseball was the thing, and then baseball seemed to sort of fade away, and a lot of people were playing softball, be it orthodox or fast pitch or, you know, on to slow pitch, or sometimes multiple versions of softball. And it seems that in some ways, at least in the city, some of that is dying down a little bit. And then baseball becoming more popular with the adult crew, but yet coming along behind, softball is pretty big with the kids again.
Yeah, which is great to see. And both boys and girls playing, and I just think it's we live behind a ballpark, and I'll be taking the dogs out some night and just stop and watch.
Well, you could probably put a jersey on Ellie Mae.
Ellie Mae, she'd be a good, I don't know what she'd be, center fielder maybe? Covers a lot of ground.
I would think she would cover a lot of ground.
And would be hit by a lot of pitches with that great big melon she has. God. Yeah, but it's fun to see, and the little pockets too in the province, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Hoyt and other spots. Like, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, certainly Hoyt, a traditional softball spot for sure,
And you think back too, like the Woodstock Shire Towners, like Woodstock, and I lived there, population 5,000 or whatever it was, and that was baseball mad, you know, and you're probably not going to see that again at the senior level, right? Just that cycle is a little bit different. But, yeah, those pocket cities, like there are towns like that where it's amazing, because that was the place to be and things to do.
Royals had a home game lined up in Woodstock a couple years ago, I think, and I believe it fell through.
Okay. Connell Park?
Connell Park. Field work or weather or something that my memory's not quite that good.
Right.
Jody Peterson, I'm sure, would remember why. So it was back last edition of the Royals, not the current edition. Okay. So it's probably been 4 or 5 years ago now.
Drove by a Memorial Field the other day.
Yeah.
In West St. John, the fog capital of the world, in terms of games being fogged out. And I know, you know, teams would leave Fredericton or Moncton in the beautiful sun and hit Petersville Hill or a little closer, and you're like, oh no, and the fog would be coming in over the west side. But
that's another sports stadium that I've not been in.
Memorial Field.
Memorial Field.
Yeah, that's cool. One of my favorite memories growing up in the city was, I believe it was like 78, they hosted the Canadian Fastball Championships, and they converted the baseball field into a softball diamond, and they used the adjoining softball diamond as well. So it was just a smorgasbord of softball that year. So is that Willie's phone going off?
I think it's Willie's phone going off. So as you know, until sort of last June when you hosted me in St. John for the
that's right. What a weekend.
For the Legacy Cup weekend. You know, I was always a bit scared of St. John after dark.
Gibby. We showed you a different side of the city, didn't we?
I saw a different side of the city.
Absolutely. Two nights in a row. It was a great time.
Two nights in a row. It was a great time.
Hanging out with the Kilpatricks, too, at one of the pubs there.
It was a lot of fun.
Anytime you can be with Kaylee and Mr. and Mrs. Kilpatrick, it's a fun night out. We didn't have any hickeys with us, though.
I don't know how we managed that.
No, it's not easy.
There were probably some around.
Yeah, well, there'd definitely be some around. No doubt about that.
So the only other thing I've got noted here, Brad, to talk about Maritime Hockey League. I know we've both sort of been following that league throughout the year, and of course we've both done a little bit of, you've done a lot of work with the Red Wings. I a couple times filled in for you this season. We had Roger on. They're into the semifinals now.
Divisional finals.
Divisional finals, whatever you call it. Amherst up 2-0 on Summerside.
2-2.
Is it 2-2?
2-2. Amherst won in overtime last night. 4-3, I want to say. Scored early in OT.
Maybe I didn't go back far enough there.
So
on that series.
That's been a weird series because it's been close or blowout. So, and guess what? Summerside blowing teams out on the island. And Amherst hanging tough at home, including OT last night. So back to Summerside tomorrow night.
And the other one, though, is 2-0.
It's 2-0.
Miramichi. Over 2-0 over Edmundston.
And I don't know if that's... be interesting to talk to some of the people that are, you know, ice level. Miramichi finished third in the North. Edmundston took the Red Wings out in four straight in semifinal. But Miramichi is up 2-0 in that. I don't know if it would be an upset because Miramichi finished very strong, added some major components at the deadline. And Edmundston is good, like really good. So that's an interesting series to watch that unfold. I can't imagine it being a sweep for Miramichi, but stranger things have happened.
I think they've both been one goal games.
I think they've been tight and big crowds at all four centers. And that's what you want this time of year. And this is the perfect time. This is the perfect time of year to be playing because you're not heading out to the beach or anything like that. And there's hockey in town. And they're all pretty much similar size stadiums, 2,500, I shouldn't call them stadiums, arenas, 2,500, 2,700 or less. And hockey's alive and well. So that's, we don't have a whole lot going on in the city, but a lot of the sports that surround us are still going. So hopefully one day soon the Red Wings get to this time of year where they're playing into mid and late April.
Well, as long as the Timberwolves are done before the Hurricanes start their season,
that's right.
Everything will be good,
right? Point. That's true. Good point.
No, there's lots of sporting.
Lots of love to go around.
Capacity there in Miramichi for sure.
There is.
You know, no question. Anything else you want to chat on?
No, I think we're good. It's good to get caught up. We did take the week off, and I think we're in that getting ready to accelerate mode, right? Things are starting to pick up a lot, and we'll have a lot more. And then the guests will start coming in because it is fun to talk about different sports and all the different guests that we can bring in.
And, so. And the way our phones are both going off here, there's got to be something going
something
on here.
Something going
still
on,
we're,
yeah,
we're
exactly.
missing somewhere. I think we've actually got a guest lined up for next week, I think.
Do tell.
Well, I thought we had Tom lined up for next week, don't we?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, exactly. So Tom Liston will be joining us.
We have to confirm that.
Right, we will.
Sorry, Tom,
all over.
If
you're listening, I think he's in a different time zone as we're not the Ontario time zone either.
I thought I saw a picture of him at the ballpark in Texas.
Dallas sounds just about right. So he'd probably be watching the Astros. Hopefully he watched both games that they won, not the first two. You can tell it's early in the season, right? I'm already panicking.
Yes, yes. Both games that they won. I'm not going to mention it, but the Red Sox are starting off okay.
Crazy, yeah. In Pittsburgh, I think, or Cleveland, or something like that. And I mean, April's April, right? So
you can only play who's on your schedule. So you take the win when you can
that's
get the
right.
win.
Yeah, and Houston goes into Kansas City, so starting tonight. So
and
hopefully there's some dubs.
Renovated Rogers Center as well. They've done a whole.
That
bunch
looked weird.
Bunch
I saw it last night. Yeah. I guess everybody's raving about it, but it just looked like. Just watching it sparingly, because you know my feeling on the Blue Jays, and it just looked odd. It looked like a stadium from the 70s with like dotted seats in the front area, but I don't know. People seem to be raving about it, so good on them.
Well, it'd be better than previous, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. You and I can go back to Exhibition Stadium. That was something, but things have come a long way since then.
I've been in Exhibition Stadium.
Oh, there you go. Yes. All right.
Seats were beyond the outfield fence.
That's right. You just keep going right down into the lake.
Straight over at the other bleachers. It was not looking towards the field because it was football.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was like an end zone seat.
Yeah. So it would have been, we'd had pretty good football seats. For baseball, it was pretty hard of the neck by the end of the game.
Just looking left the whole time. Yeah. Like a tennis match.
So yeah, so that'll do it. Again, we're pushing the hour unbelievably from 10 o'clock, not even knowing we were going to do this morning, and nothing to talk about, to an hour.
We'll always find something to talk about.
Local sports.
I do want to thank those that take the time to email you or me or text or whatever the thing is, and whether they caught a fraction of it or suggesting story ideas to cover and things like that. So I think, I think we've discussed this a little bit, but I think it's incredibly cool what Late Scratches has done in terms of just trying to fill a void, and two guys just sitting there across from each other and a cat and talking sports. So thanks for that, and keep the suggestions coming. Like you said, you had some there, and it's, because we certainly don't know everything. And we like to think we do, but we don't. And if you have what you think is a unique story or a guest idea, please send to us, and we'll do our best. Technology is pretty easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do hear from us sort of on a last minute thing, as we've talked about here a few times, we're not the best at planning ahead. So if we ever get good at planning ahead terms of who's available when, I think our lives could be easier there from a guest perspective. Fair. But I often feel guilty when we touch base on the Tuesday morning. Hey, we're doing a podcast tonight, to try to reach out to somebody on extremely short notice to try to get them lined up. So,
well, I think you should bring your gear down to St. Stephen the 27th, 28th, and just put the mics on, and because God knows who's going to be there, and we know some of the people are coming, so there'd be some characters in town.
Oh, there'd be a ton of things to talk about there.
Absolutely.
And there'd probably be some more editing required after some of those events, I would think.
No doubt. Make sure it's before 7:30 p.m.
Yes, for sure. All right, that'll do it for this one. Thanks, folks, and hope you enjoyed this. Come on back for the next one, whenever we do it.
Thanks, Gibby.
Regional Service Commission 11 is now known as the Capital Region Service Commission. For all your building or subdivision permits, regional transportation, social mandates, and economic development questions, visit capitalrsc.ca. That's capitalrsc.ca. Email info@crsc.ca. Call 506-453-2956 or visit our office at 860 Prospect Street in Fredericton.